All right, it's that time on a Tuesday. We shake our heads and we ask questions and we let Alex lead
off. I get to start with the first question. To Curtis Samuel, I ask.
What are you doing?
Curtis Samuel is a second round pick for the Carolina Panthers, wide receiver out of the Ohio State University. He recently signed a 4-year, $6.4 million contract with the team as part of his rookie deal, slotting for where he was picked. Now, I give you the details of his contract for one reason and one reason only. Because NFL training camps began meeting this week, and Samuel got dropped off to his first ever practice as a professional athlete by his mom. Now, this is not something unprecedented or anything. Eli Apple of your Giant Steve got dropped off by his mom last year. But to both of these guys, I really am just wondering what's taking them so long to buy their moms and themselves new cars. Isn't that one of like the first big purchases for an NFL player? You buy everyone in your family a new car. You, your wife or girlfriend, your mom. You surprise her at her house, blindfold her, bring her out to her new Mercedes or Prius, depending on, you know, how frugal she is. Samuel said that he was walking up, and after being dropped off by his mom, that she needed the car later in the day, so she was just going to drop him off and run some errands. Dude, that's like adorable and everything, but you're an NFL player and also a grown-up. Go buy a car. I own a car. Go buy a car.
That does prove a lot.
What are you doing?
Do they get paid when the season starts, or do they not get paid for exhibition?
Get a signing bonus, right?
I actually thought it'd be. Could you imagine all of a sudden it's like the NBA Finals and LeBron gets dropped off in front of Quicken Loans and his mom, you know, like in Almost Famous, don't do drugs.
LeBron's mom and Delonte West drop him off outside the arena.
No way. That did not just happen. So to Boston lefty David Price, I ask.
What are you doing?
Turns out this guy's a douche, a bad teammate. Now on his fourth team in just under 3 years, and it's not like he's led anybody anywhere. He was horrible in his lone Bo Sox postseason game last year. Didn't make it out of the fourth inning against Cleveland. His career playoff ERA is 5.5. And now we hear he just lost his mind and went off on Boston broadcaster Hall of Famer Dennis Eckersley. Eck had commented on the struggles of Eduardo Rodriguez at AA, and Price handled it just like a wise-ass little punk. He mocked him, screamed at him, used a couple of F-bombs, cussed him out on the plane. And, of course, Price, with things not going so well, said he's no longer speaking with the media on days he doesn't pitch. He also went off on a Comcast New England reporter as well. Hey, good for me. Another reason to hate Boston, as I ask.
What are you doing?
Like, you need any more of those?
Plenty.
To the Mets, I ask.
What are you doing?
And the Mets always so close to being cool. So Noah Syndergaard had a bobblehead night recently, and if you don't know, his nickname is Thor, because he looks like Thor. Tall, long, blonde hair. He needs a beard, but it's close enough. And knowing this, the Mets thought it would be a fun idea to create the bobblehead to look like Syndergaard was Thor. So Syndergaard in a Mets uniform, pitching a baseball, but with a Thor helmet on and Thor's hammer involved. The problem with the bobblehead, and that's a really funny thing to call it in this instance, is that they apparently had to make the entire thing in one big connected piece. So it's the base, Syndergaard throwing the ball, and Thor's hammer on the ground, which is attached to his leg. And there's really only one way to describe what Thor's hammer looked like. It looked like a wiener. There, I said it. Like, the steel part looked fine, but it looked like a wiener was coming out of it and was attached to the bottom of Syndergaard's leg. Now, here's probably the part where I'm supposed to make a joke about how the bobblehead represents how Mets ownership has treated their fans over the last several decades, but I don't have to make a joke because it was reality in this case. Fans literally waited hours in line to be one of the 15,000 to get one of them. Many of those people left empty-handed, which I guess if the option is to have that in your hand, maybe they're a little bit better off, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To Jerry Jones and the Cowboy organization, I ask.
What are you doing?
Look, we know you're a knuckle dragger. I guarantee behind closed doors you will use the words like dame and honestly think sexual predators is a case of boys being boys. But even for you, it's a bad look. And believe me, Jerry, with all your cosmetic surgery, that's saying something. So while the league is pondering suspending Zeke Elliott over domestic violence allegations, and Elliott also may have been involved in a serious altercation in a bar, Jerry's telling us he looked into it, Nothing to see here. So not only is he an oilman, a former college football player, an underachieving general manager, now apparently he has the investigative skills of Veronica Mars and Sherlock Holmes. But a third-rate return guy,
Veronica Mars,
who was wrongly accused of a crime he could not have committed, unlucky Whitehead, he gone. Gotta send a message. Superstar, do as you please. Roster dude at the end, number 52, scapegoat city, as we ask.
What are you doing?
You like the Veronica Mars reference?
I'm very surprised and impressed.
Love that show.
To Kyle Whittingham, I ask.
What are you doing?
So we all know about the exploits over the last few years by Darren Carrington, couple different weed suspensions, including missing the national title game, which, let me remind you, means he would rather smoke weed and chill than play in a national championship game. Then a few weeks ago, gets a DUI after crashing his car into a McDonald's drive-thru. So now all of that, weed suspensions, being kicked off the team because of a DUI, all of that is going to be a Utah Ute next season. That's right. Kyle Whittingham apparently doesn't care about if you do drugs or get DUIs as long as you can catch a football. This, despite the fact that it literally goes against Utah's core values for the program. Our buddy Matt Preem tweeted a picture of a plaque on Utah's wall, literally says, among other things, no drugs and no DUIs. Two things Carrington has been in trouble for within the last 2 years, several times. So basically, the next time you hear about one of these Utah schools, and Whittingham especially, having these strict guidelines, having total control over their programs, core values that are much better than any other place because they're rooted in religion or whatever they say, call them on that BS, because Whittingham just welcomed in a wideout who violates a large portion of the ones they literally post on their walls, as we ask.
What are you doing?
All right, quickly, to the anti-Mellow Blazer fans, I ask.
What are you doing?
Who are you kidding? You peaked with Kenny Anderson as a free agent in 1996, like last year with Dwight Howard. If a high-profile all-star caliber player is even remotely considering this seemingly invisible franchise, you roll out the red carpet, you get Paul Allen's yacht, you find the best places in the alphabet, the Pearl, Knob Hill, you put on the Ritz. Ever hear about beggars and choosers? Yeah, you're the former. Attention, opportunity. Figure it out, as we ask.
What are you doing?